This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Today, inshallah, by the way, reminder, today is the 10th Taraweeh. So within the twinkling of an eye, 1/3 of the month is gone. And within 10 days, we'll be in the last 10 nights. So how quickly the month is proceeding, make sure we're taking advantage of it. So we have, in the last 10 days, incentivized, inshallah, all of us to increase our dua, to understand the importance of dua. From today onwards, we're going to start talking about the adab or the etiquettes of dua. And today we will begin with one of the most, if not the most important. This etiquette, if we understand it, if we master it, inshallah ta'ala, it will maximize the potential of our dua. And as we said in the previous lessons, every dua we make, Allah will respond. The purpose of these etiquettes is to increase not only the chance of responding the way we want, which is the first of the three categories, but to increase the rewards as well. Not all du'as are the same. Not all du'as are the same. And two people sitting next to each other, making the exact same du'a, saying the exact same wording, it is possible that the one of them will get a minuscule response and the other will get a response بِغَيْرِ حِسَاب. What is the difference? That's what we're going to discuss on today and the next few lessons, the etiquettes of dua. And so we begin with the first of them, which is know that the response to your dua will be proportional to your level of knowing that Allah hears and responds to your dua. The stronger your certainty, the stronger your own conviction that Allah is listening, that Allah is aware, that Allah is mujib, that Allah is qareeb, the stronger your own sense in your internal qalb that Allah will give me what I want, the more the jawab will be from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In fact, the profound reality here is that this condition is so powerful, it even eclipses Islam and Iman. What do I mean by this? The kafir, when he turns to Allah, Allah will respond if he has this condition. The one who does shirk, no good deed of his is accepted, but Allah will accept his dua. In this dunya, not in the akhirah. There's no reward in the akhirah. In this dunya, even the kafir, even the mushrik, every time they turn to Allah with that conviction, they might do shirk the whole day, and when they turn to Allah for that 1 minute, but when they turn to Allah with that conviction, their shirk will not disqualify even Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reply to that dua. Why? Because Allah is the Rabb of the Muslim and the non-Muslim. Allah is the Khaliq of the kafir and the mu'min. Allah is the Rabb. Is no Rabb besides Allah. And so even when the one who rejects the kalima, but he affirms Allah will answer my dua, even that person, Allah will reply. So then what do you think of the case of the Muslim? Go read the Quran. How many verses? Over a dozen verses. Allah mentions this phenomenon. Over a dozen verses. فَإِذَا رَكِبُوا فِي الْفُلْكِ دَعَوَ اللَّهَ مُخْلِصِينَ لَهُ الدِّينَ. When they're in the ocean and the ocean is beginning to shake them with all of their waves, they make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah says in the Quran, فَإِذَا غَشِيَهُمْ مَوْجٌ كَالظُّلَلِ. When the waves are like mountains, دَعَوَ اللَّهَ مُخْلِصِينَ لَهُ الدِّينَ. فَلَمَّا نَجَّهُمْ إِلَى الْبَرِّ. Then when Allah saves them back to the shore. Sure. Allah says in the Quran, وَإِذَا مَسَّ الْإِنسَانَ ضُرٌّ. When there's a calamity that touches any person, دَعَانَا لِجَنْبِهِ أَوْ قَاعِدًا أَوْ قَائِمًا. He begins calling us, whether they're lying on their side, whether they're sitting, whether they're standing. فَلَمَّا كَشَفْنَا عَنْهُ ضُرَّهُ. When we lift up that calamity, then he turns away from us. Notice, even though they're going to turn away from Allah, Allah still answers their dua. Even though they're committing shirk, Allah still answers their dua. Why? Because when any makhluq turns to the Khaliq, when any makhluq turns to the Rabb, because he is the Rabb, he must respond to the plea of the one he is the Rabb of. And this reality is demonstrated in a beautiful story in the seerah, where one of the icons of kufr, one of the worst people of kufr, eventually turns to Islam because he understands this reality. And that is Ikrimah ibn Abi Jahl. Abu Jahl, you know who he is. He is the Fir'aun of this ummah. His son was no less of a Fir'aun in his lifetime, meaning in the early part of his life. His son was a very evil person in the early part of the history. And one of the few people, when the Prophet ﷺ entered Mecca, you all know he gave a general amnesty. Everybody's forgiven. But then he had a list. Except these few people, whatever happens, dead or alive, they're not going to be forgiven. Catch them, execute them. Ikrimah was on that list. That's how evil he was. Ikrimah was on that list that he's not going to be forgiven. Ikrimah knew this. Before the conquest of Mecca, he fled. He got onto a boat from Jeddah. He got onto a boat. And literally, like the Quran says, then in the middle of the night, the boat is getting bashed by the waves. Then the ship's captain, they're all pagans. They're all idolaters, mushrikun. The ship's captain comes and says to these idol worshippers, I can't do anything. The ship is going to crash unless we turn to Allah. For now, your gods are not going to help you other than Allah. We all know this. Turn to Allah. Only Allah can save us. All of these other gods, we know they're not going to help us now. Ikrimah said, this pagan, when he said this, and all of us knew this to be true, then it clicked in me that if my gods will not help me now, why should I worship them when I get back to the shore? Literally, like Allah says in the Quran, that when they get back to the shore, they're committing shirk. So Ikrimah says, that's when I realized Islam is true, that it makes complete sense. Why should I not worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the shore when out here in the ocean, I know Allah and only Allah will answer. And so he said to Allah, oh Allah, if you save me, I promise you that I will accept Islam and I will go to your Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam and I will put my hand in his hand and I will find him to be forgiving and merciful. And that's exactly what happened. He went back to Mecca, he embraced Islam and the Prophet forgave him and he died a shaheed in one of the future battles. The same incident or similar incident in the seerah as well. The Prophet met one of the icons of Jahiliyyah, very well known. He was a poet, he was a nobleman, he was a leader, and he was one of the chieftains of the other tribes. The Prophet said to him, how many gods do you worship? He said, I have 7 gods, 6 on earth and 1 up there. So the Prophet said, which one do you turn to when you are in desperate need? He goes, the one up there. So then the Prophet said, why then do you turn to these other 6 when you're in comfort? And he accepted Islam. In other words, the experience of the pagan, the experience, not even reading the Quran, the experience, when I need my dua to be answered, who do I turn to? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is the message of Islam. This is the message of the Quran. In fact, one of the most powerful examples in the whole Quran is the example of the worst of creation, Iblis. Iblis, the one who every time we open the book, we send Allah's curse on him. A'udhu billahi min ash-shaytan ar-rajim. That same Iblis, who is the paragon of arrogance, the example of kufr, when he needed Allah and he turned to Allah, Iblis was too arrogant to worship Allah by humbling his head. But when he needed Allah, he turned to Allah and said, Ya Rabb, قَالَ رَبِّ أَنظِرْنِي إِلَى يَوْمِ يُبْعَثُونَ. The desperation Iblis felt, that desperation, this is what I'm talking about. In this regard, even Iblis and his desperation, in the end, Iblis is a makhluq. In the end, Iblis, his Rabb is Allah. And that's why Iblis says, Rabbi. Iblis says, Rabbi, because Allah is the Rabb of the whole makhluq. So when Iblis says, Rabbi, أَنظِرْنِي إِلَى يَوْمِ يُبْعَثُونَ, Allah responded to the dua of Iblis. قَالَ إِنَّكَ مِنَ الْمُنظَرِينَ. Okay, you have this. Sufyan ibn Uyayna, one of the main scholars of Islam, the teachers of the teachers of Bukhari, Sufyan ibn Uyayna said, O Muslim, O sinner, never give up hope of Allah responding to your dua. No matter how sinful you are. Don't you read the Quran, he said? When Iblis asked Allah and Allah gave Iblis, then surely you are better than Iblis. Surely you are better than Shaytan, that Allah will answer your dua. Never give up hope. So the number one etiquette, and frankly this is the most important, your level of trust, yaqeen, ikhlas, your level of iman, that Allah is hearing and Allah is responding and Allah will give me what I want. Very simple. Your ijaba will be proportional to your own level of iman. And as a Muslim, automatically your level of iman should be infinitely more than the mushrik and the kafir. So if Allah says to the mushrik and kafir, his dua will be accepted, well then how about our dua? And inshallah we'll continue other etiquettes tomorrow. Jazakumullah khair. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
شهر رمضان الذي أنزل فيه القرآن هدى للناس وبينات من الهدى والفرقان.